2 miles from Glastonbury Town Centre, and taste our award-winning ciders, perry and apple juice. As well as traditional blends, we have many single varieties like Kingston Black, cider vinegar, local cheddar cheese, jams, pickles, chutneys, marmalade, honey, Somerset Royal Cider Brandy, and a range of cider jars and mugs, all produced locally from farms around the Somerset Levels. So come and visit us today for a real taste of Somerset. Visit hexfarmhousecider.co.uk or call us on 014.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Torrey at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Do you want to reach a global interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now That's Weird.
Yes, good evening everyone, welcome back to another one. It is Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. 3 hours of the best strange phenomena chat through till midnight UK time. Now I understand, and you can correct me if you will, because of all these time differences around the world, I think it's 1 till 4 p.m. EST. No, that's PST, isn't it? That's right. And 4 till 7 p.m. EST. And God knows what time it is in Australia. Perhaps our Australian listeners can tell us. I think it's about 7 o'clock in the morning or something silly out there. But whatever, let me know. It's Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, I understand we're having a few email issues this evening. Hopefully they'll be sorted out before hour 2, because hour 2 is all about your emails. I'm going to be in trouble if they're not sorted by then. But hopefully they will be. So we'll keep you updated on that. Now, before I start going into the guests for this evening, I've got to tell you there's some very, very important issues for us to discuss in hour 2 tonight. Hour 2, it's just me and you, the listeners. And what I want you to do is, once the emails are up and running, is to send in your phone numbers if you're prepared to come on the air and have a chat to me, and we will ring you in hour 2. And the main issues are, of course, swine flu. You may remember David Icke saying in his recent interview with us that swine flu was going to return big scale in late September, early October. Well, needless to say, the Daily Telegraph carried a story this week saying that swine flu cases are on the rise. And then we see a video from America saying that in 2 states now it's going to become an offence not to have the mandatory vaccination. What's worse is they're planning a chipped, yes, microchipped bracelet. And once you've had the vaccination, you get fitted with the bracelet and the microchip. Without it, you're not going to be able to travel from one state to another, which means they're going to clamp down on anyone moving anywhere without being microchipped. Didn't we say that on the show a little while ago with Greg Nicolotis? I believe we did, yes. You see, you hear it all here first. But it's worrying, isn't it? And I want your views on it in hour 2. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Also, you may remember a while back I told you that Gordon Brown was sending out his press releases earlier this year, signed Gordon Brown Working Towards Global Governance. Now, I sent copies of these emails out to various different people, including my good friends David Icke, Matthew Holbrook, who else? Kenton Torrey. Various people were sent copies, so they all saw these, and they've all disappeared. Nobody has a copy of this in their inbox anymore. It means that the government have either come into our emails and recalled these things out, or they've had a self-destroy on them, because every single copy of it's gone. Now, what's happening is someone said to our Prime Minister, Prime Minister, you can't actually be quite that open about this just yet. What the hell's going on? They can actually come in and destroy an email archived away in your inbox. My God, I wish I'd have printed that one off on the printer, I can tell you now. So if anyone's still got a copy of that I sent out, send it to me right now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And also a brand new blog spot tonight, nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's the brand new blog, and we're going to be updating that every day with the real news, the news that counts, the stuff that the mainstream media won't tell you. And it's really important to read. Right, the email problem's been sorted. Well done to Penny. She's a star. She got it all sorted out very quickly this evening. Well done, you. And yes, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, all up and running. Now, in hour 3 tonight, we're going to be talking to a lady called Pamela Glasner. Pamela's been working on the whole Big Pharma issue, and if you don't know what that is, that's the big pharmaceutical companies and what's going on. She's also going to be looking at the connections with mental health issues connected to Big Pharma, and of course we're going to be talking about that swine flu vaccine in hour 3, because it's the big news of the week again. So Pamela Glasner, hour 3, looking forward to that. But in hour 1 tonight, I'm pleased to have a guy on the phone that he's been working on an area that's very close to my own heart. You may recall some time ago when Brian Allen was on the show, we were talking about sound and music and its effects on the human body, and also its effects on places like Rosslyn Chapel and the various frequencies that could trigger possibly the opening of portals. Well, tonight, in hour 1, I'm going to be talking to a gentleman called John Levine. Now, John is like no other composer, is set out with the same intent that drives various people like John. Trained originally as an electronic engineer and then as a classical composer, John has studied psychology and the physiology of hearing. After considerable experimentation, John established a pattern of sound that predictably invites the brain to settle into alpha state. Based on this and incorporating his musical knowledge and creativity, John has developed alpha music as an effective tool anyone can use to cope with the day-to-day stress and anxiety. And he's on the phone with me right now. John, good evening.
Good evening, Ross.
And welcome to the program. Now, not a native Brit, are you, I believe?
Well, you can hear by the accent. I've been one of those convicts that was sent out a long time ago.
on that prison island down under where we've got a lot of listeners that I'm not going to upset tonight.
That's right. I'm from Sydney, Australia, originally.
John, you're over here at the moment working on this. You've been down at some of the fairs and doing presentations about the whole alpha music thing. I think it's wonderful, the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Just tell
us how you got involved in all this in the first place.
Oh, that's a long story. A few things just sort of came together. It was sort of knowledge and a few emotional family issues that sort of brought the whole thing together. I started writing music from the age of six. But nobody told me, even after doing a degree in music composition, that music could actually do anything more than be used for art or entertainment purposes. And whilst I was having fun, you know, writing music and being in different bands, from jazz bands to rock bands, and writing music for TV commercials and being a modern dance composer and all the rest of it, well, my father was getting progressively sicker and sicker through... And the doctors kept on saying it's stress that's causing these sicknesses, and it's not, you know, a sickness where they say it's only in your mind, because it might have started in the mind, but when you see your dad taking tablets and start taking insulin injections, it's no longer in his mind. He's actually got diabetes. So he had diabetes. He had a heart attack. He had diverticulitis. He had a stroke, and unfortunately, at the age of 58, he died. And we were always trying to work out ways to help him. And I made a conscious decision as soon as they were starting to give him lectures that it was stress and anxiety that was giving him all these diseases, that I'll learn as much as I can about how to keep them, you know, how to keep the body healthy just by keeping your mind happy and calm and relaxed.
Mm. Sounds like a good idea to me. Now tell us exactly what is alpha music and how does it actually work?
Alpha music, I call it alpha music because the aim of the music is to slow the brain waves down to the alpha state and also below the alpha state to the theta and delta state. When I first learnt meditation, they didn't actually sit me down and teach me it until they showed the science of how it works. And what they showed us was, and thanks to having the electrical engineering background, I could understand this. They showed brainwaves, and they showed that as the brainwaves started to slow down from the beat of the alpha to the theta to the delta state, the mind started to, well, the level of consciousness changed. So when you become in a deeply meditative state, you start to slow down your brainwaves from a beta stress state to an alpha calm state, and then you keep going down to a theta state, which is sort of a dreamy state, and deltas, which is when you're in a extremely deeply meditative state or a state of unconsciousness.
Now, it's an interesting idea and concept, because a little while ago we had a guest on the program who was talking about when anyone experiences what they believe to be an alien abduction experience, their brain goes into alpha state afterwards. What do you think the connection is there?
Well, what we were taught was that you don't know that you've been in a delta state, which is the deepest meditative state, until you come out of it. But when you come out of that state, the first thing you go is, where am I? What am I doing? How long was I there for? Did I have a blackout? What's going on, you know? Mm. It's like, did time stop? It's a really strange feeling. And they encouraged us to get into that deep delta state. And I think it could very well be that when you're talking about people experiencing abduction, etc., they've probably gone through the delta state. You're not conscious in the delta state. You're only conscious when you come back up to the alpha state. And in that state you go, whoa, my God, I'm relaxed, but what happened?
Mm. Now, you're talking about it dealing with stress. Now, most of us in this day and age, bearing in mind what's going on around us and some of the outrageous things that are happening in the world right now, stress has got to be one of the biggest killers, hasn't it?
I would say so. In the Western world, it's anywhere between 60 to 80% of all Western diseases are related to stress some way. And the amount of money that the UK is spending on health, national health, is over £30 billion a year.
Mm, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's close to the defence budget.
Well, the defence budget we know about, anyway.
Yeah.
Right, if you want to ask any questions for John in the first hour this evening, the address, as usual, is ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. The email's all up and working as we understand it now, so get those emails coming in. Because a lot of you tend to leave it to the last 15 minutes to ask your questions, by the time they're processed through the system here, we can't get them to the guests. So get your questions in early, and we will read those out in the second part of this hour. Now, what motivated you, John, to conceive the whole concept of Alpha Music?
Well, one motivation was my dad getting progressively ill from stress-related diseases and seeing that the whole thing was so senseless, because if he was able to keep calm and relaxed, then a lot of these diseases wouldn't have happened. But he wouldn't be told what to do. He couldn't understand what meditation was. He wasn't going to be allowed, he wouldn't allow anyone to hypnotize him. And so he was a pretty stubborn case. And so we were trying all sorts of different ways to help him. So that was one motivation, is trying to help my dad. Unfortunately, I couldn't help him, but I wanted to go on and help everybody else in the world. Mm. And the other motivation was, in the early 80s, after I finished the degree in music and I finished learning about meditation, you never finish learning about meditation, because the more you meditate, the more you learn. But when I first learned meditation, let's say, and this is when I was thinking that music was still only for art or entertainment, I heard and read in the newspapers and in the magazines about something, a new type of music. It was called New Age Relaxation Music, and it was supposed to fix headaches and fix sleeping problems and all these things. And I thought, oh my God, if this was really the case, the whole world would change, you know, the way we treat medicine and everything else would just go upside down completely if you could use music to actually help get to sleep rather than using any drugs. This would be amazing.
Mm.
So nobody told me that music was that potent. So that night I just couldn't get to sleep. I was just so excited. The next morning I rushed to the record shop and bought some cassettes at the time, and I was playing this music when I brought it home, reading all the liner notes, reading all the newspaper articles, waiting for Nirvana, you know, waiting for that lift, like something's going to change inside me. And the only thing that changed was my blood pressure, because I thought, this music is absolute rubbish, you know.
Now, John, I've got to stop you there, because we've got to go to an ad break, but hold that thought, because we're going to come back exactly on that point in just a moment. John's website is silenceofmusic.com. That's www.silenceofmusic.com. Check it out. We'll be back right after these words.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us, but time is short. You need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frow, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnik, Chetney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us, to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com, and keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. Don't forget to check out that new blog spot. It's Nomad Rush, N-O-M-A-D-R-U-S-H, nomadrush.blogspot.com. And a few of you will know I've been moving my blog around in recent days, trying to find one that's probably best set up to do the job it needs to do, and I think we finally found it. So you can actually click onto that website tonight while you're listening to the show. Just press the follow button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll automatically update you whenever I do a new blog. And there's some really, really strong information coming through on the blogs at the moment, from stuff that I'm being tipped off about. Now, you might appreciate the situation I'm in here. I tend to get a lot of these things sent to me, and I've got to tell you that one of the world experts on the Webbot is coming on the show real soon, possibly as early as next week. Now, if you don't know about the Webbot, well, where have you been recently? This was a program set up to scan the world's websites and come up with predictions based on opinion. And the Webbot apparently has been extremely close and, well, in fact, spot on in many of its predictions. And there are quite a few, shall we say, slightly worrying predictions that the Webbot's making right now. So I've decided to get the guy who knows the most about it on the show. And he's going to be on hopefully next week, but certainly very soon. So watch the website for details. Now, just before the break, we were talking, or John Levine was talking, reference Alpha Music Project and the effect that music had on him when he first sat down and started listening, and was listening, obviously, to the wrong things by the sound of it. John, pick up from where you left off, if you would.
Yeah, hi, Ross. Yeah, so I was talking about, you know, the realisation that music did a lot more than just, you know, entertain you or, or was for artistic purposes. And I bought some music at a record shop called New Age Relaxation Music, which is supposed to do these amazing things like fix headaches or help you get to sleep and induce meditation. But all it did was really get me annoyed that I was ripped off, because the music was absolutely terrible. And thanks to my music degree in composition, they teach more than half the degree is about analysis. So when any music sort of doesn't sound right or doesn't just isn't good, I'm always wanting the music to take me on a dream, you know, like when you watch a movie or something, you really want to be taken away. And that's what I was wanting and hoping with this music. But all it did was get me annoyed, and I started going into analysis mode. And then I started writing down all the reasons why it didn't work, okay? From an instrumental point of view, from a harmonic point of view, you know, a melodic instrumentation, orchestration, intention. It just, from all these different points of view, I wrote down all the reasons why it didn't work. And my friend said, listen, you're getting so angry and peeved about this, why don't you go and do it yourself or put a sock in it? So then I said, well, if I, okay, I'll take up the challenge, because I've got a, at that stage I had a 24-track recording studio in Sydney. And I thought, all right, well, in that case, I will. I'll take up the challenge and I'll put a piece of music together as to what I think that music should have been like, you know. And that's what got me started, was a challenge, simply.
Fantastic. Now, what's so different between your alpha music and the other calming relaxation CDs that are around at the moment?
Well, there's a lot of things, really. The first thing is that a lot of the music that I heard back then, that claimed to do all these wonderful things, sounded a bit relaxing, but really was quite boring. So if it bored me, I wouldn't listen to it. And if you don't listen to the music, how is it going to help you if you don't like it or if it's boring? So I, you know, from my advertising days, I realised that the music actually has to be interesting, or it has to fascinate you, so that your subconscious and your intellect keeps wanting to listen to it. Because if you keep listening to it, and the other parts of the music are actually slowing your brainwaves down into an alpha state below, then you're actually going to get the benefit. My intention was not to relax anybody. My intention was to induce a meditative state, so that and that's where the big difference is between my music and New Age relaxation music. A lot of that is sort of more artistic or a little bit more entertaining, but mine is basically concentrating on getting the brain waves to slow down and to induce that meditative state.
I think I ought to try some of this, because I've been trying to meditate for years, and as I always joke with the listeners, I can never do it. My mind goes off and start doing the shopping round Asda or something. And
yeah. Well, we've got different CDs. Like, if I've recorded 14 different CDs, I'd like to do more. I just need to find a CEO or a general manager that wants to look after my company and just bring it into the world arena, so that I can go back and do much more composing and research. But your mind, what it sounds like to me, is a very busy mind. You're sort of, you could even be hyperactive.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, a typical, I would say that, now I'm just guessing here, that if anyone's taught you relaxation, you might just get up and say, this is not doing anything, I'm wasting my time, it's not working.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Absolutely right.
Okay. Well, the way it seems to me is that I've created different levels, and each CD has a sort of, or each composition has a different level of energy, and there is, you probably have to start on something that's quite busy and quite complex in a way, like the Orange Grove Siesta CD that I recorded. Now, don't take offence, but most women like that. So I'm not saying you're a woman.
Wait, what are you trying to say here, John?
No, but I'm saying that most women have got a very busy mind, and that busy mind stops them from getting to sleep.
Yeah.
Whilst
yeah.
most men don't have a busy mind, unless they're a manager of a company or an IT director or someone that, like you, that's running a top international program. And the Orange CD has been created in such a way that there is parts of it, well, the underlying tones are taking you down, whilst a lot of the other parts of the music are quite, not only complicated, but they're also not easy to categorize. They're not easy to predict. So the way I create the music doesn't allow you to categorize the music so that you can go back to your busy thinking. So every so often in the music, there'll be something that doesn't fit. fit to what you think the music should be like. And every time that happens, you're distracted into the music,
right.
Whilst other parts of the music will take you down to a lower and lower state. So finally, after so many distractions, you know, your main basic brain frequencies will have been taken down from the beta to the alpha to the theta to the delta state. And as the brain waves start to slow down, the hormones in your body start to change, and that's the most fascinating thing.
Mm,
and those hormones start to switch off the busy mind and to start switching on muscle relaxants, and you might have heard of melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
Melatonin starts to increase, and at a certain point where the sleep hormones are above a certain level, you won't have any choice. You'll just fall asleep. I've had people listening to the Orange CD standing up, losing their balance because their muscles in their legs and they start to unwind or relax involuntarily, which is incredible. But this is, I mean, it's incredible how music is so potent.
Oh, absolutely. Well, as someone who's been songwriting most of his life and playing in bands,
yeah.
I know the effect that music has on me, so I know you're right with this. Let's go to the emails very quickly, because I've got an interesting one here from Pam in Alaska, who's one of our regular listeners, and she's in the chat room at the moment. Says, "Hey, Ross, I've got a question for your guest. I have health problems that are affected by stress. I've heard about using music and tones to help this, but it's always a do-it-in-a-moment-when-you-need-it sort of thing. That's not always possible. Does this fellow's program make it possible to use it and have a cumulative effect, you know, to have the positive effects build up over time and last a bit, so perhaps my reactions to stressful situations won't be as strong? Thanks from Pam in Alaska."
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'd like to invite people to do more research into this area to see how permanent the effects can be. What I do know is that to change a habit, it takes at least 30 days of consistent use of whatever it is. Now, what I've seen and heard is that if you use whichever of the CDs that is aligned to your problem or your specific need, if you keep using that every single day, what happens is that the brainwaves start to slow down and harmonize, the hormones start to change, and because of that, the behavior and the way you think starts to change. It's incredible. Like in a school, they used my music and they found that there was a 87% drop in talking, a 46% drop in hyperactivity, and a 108% increase in academic results. And this is in a classroom where the teacher called it her class from hell, bunch of teenager boys. And you wouldn't ever think that teenager boys would change their attitude or their behavior. But what happened was, as the brainwaves slowed down, the hormones changed, the behavior changed, and the attitudes changed, and the results changed. Now, if you do that consistently for 30 days, there's a good chance that the way you think and the way you behave will start to change as well. And once those start to change, then perhaps you may not need to use the music all the time.
Well, there you go, Pam. Good advice for you there. I've got to tell you, John, on that very point, a good friend of mine, Lynn Porter, who runs a training program for children with ADHD, has been using sound and music therapy very successfully for some time. Now, she comes from a scientific and teaching background, and she's sworn by this for quite some time now.
Well, I totally agree with her, you know, and the results we're getting with the music in the classrooms. It goes all the way from babies to nurseries to primary schools to secondary schools to universities. And we're getting positive results, like mathematics students are finding that they can do their work faster when they're using my Silence of Peace CD, for example. They're starting to imagine colours and images when they're doing their mathematics.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And the thing is, I can see where this is going and how it works. So are other professionals around the world starting to pick up on this?
Oh, God, yes. The amount of professionals that are picking up on what I'm doing with my alpha music is just absolutely incredible. Like, you've got psychologists and psychiatrists. Now, most of them may never want to even shake the hand of a hypnotherapist or an NLP practitioner, but they all use my alpha music. complementary therapists, physiotherapists, dentists, lawyers. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Every therapist that I talk to, they can actually use the music, and there are therapists from each faculty that are using it around the world and finding positive results.
That's amazing. Now, how can alpha music help us in our everyday to day lives?
You know, it's really interesting. The problem that I had with meditation, and the problem I still have with meditation, even though I believe in it strongly, is that I choose to live in a Western world. I choose to live in a sort of a Western environment. What does that mean? Rush, rush, rush. Got to pay the bank manager. You've got mortgages, or you've got rent. You've got, you know, all these expenses. You've got responsibilities coming out, you know, coming out your ears. You know, you might have children. You've got relatives. There's a whole lot of things you've got to cram in a day, and there doesn't seem to be enough time, even if you've learnt meditation, to sit down and do it 20 minutes twice a day. When I give lectures and seminars, you know, even to Mind, Body, Spirits in Glastonbury, I said, put your hands up, and they all put their hands up saying that they know or they've been taught meditation. I say, keep your hand up if you meditate twice a day. And guess what? There's only one or two people in the room that put their hand up because of their lifestyle. So what I thought was, why can't we have both?
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't we do everything we want to do in the day and be in a meditative state at the same time? Why do you have to always sit down and close your eyes and do nothing for 20 minutes? Why can't you work in that state and be more effective? Because if you're in an alpha state most of the day, okay, you're not going to be stressed. People are not going to stress you out, and if they do, it just washes off, like you're washing your hands every time they're dirty. And at the end of the day, you're not taking that stress home with you. So the idea is to change your mental state or your mental brainwave state whilst you're working and living, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. We've got to stop you there, John, because we've got to go into another ad break. But if you've got any questions for John, get them into me now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And don't forget, if you want to chat to some of the other listeners around the world that are in the chat room right now, all you need to do is go to the website, which is www.nowthatsweird.co.uk. Just sign up for a membership. It's totally free. It only takes a couple of moments. Penny will get you activated, and then you can join the others in the chat room, and they're all chatting in there right now. So get in there and say hello. Now, I've got to tell you, there's an advert coming up for John Harris's interview. I've had so many of you writing to me saying, where can we get our hands on that fantastic interview with John Harris from the People's United community? Well, what Kenton's done over in our Now That's Weird shop, online shop, is he's edited it all together on a double CD package, and you're going to hear about that in the ad break. But if you're in one of the stations that gets their own ads, I'll just tell you quickly. It's a double CD set with John Harris's interview and also Greg Nicolotis' interview from Australia about bodily microchipping, which is going to play a very big part in what we're talking about in hour two tonight, from new news that we got this week. So the double CD package is almost ready to go. If you drop a line to sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk, you can get your name down ready for those once they're ready. It's £10, including postage and packing. So that's a double CD set. And that John Harris interview, I tell you, it's an amazing thing. You can actually change the law of this land, and you can actually make changes to the law in this land. It's something, with the knowledge that John's got, will make you think again about the way you live in what is so-called a society.
Annoying scum! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kent and Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Glastonbury Radio reaches a truly global audience of interactive listeners surfing the World Wide Web whilst listening to our programmes. Because of the global nature of online digital radio, we're seeking those forward-thinking people who run online businesses to come and take advantage of our low advertising rates right now. Our packages start from as little as £100 a month, and new advertisers get 3 months for the price of two. So contact us now on 0871 871 3666 or email Ross at GlastonburyRadio.net.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
You know what I say, if he feels normal, there's hope for all of us, isn't there? Sometimes, you know, you get bugged down with all this stuff. Doing a programme like this every week, you can't help but think sometimes what's going on. So many conspiracy theories, so many of them. We don't know if they're fact or fiction. We really can get lost, and there's so much disinformation out there at the moment as well, throwing us off track. And you might like to know that I'm going to be talking about that very subject at the 2010 UFO Congress. If you go on to ufocongress.com and go to speakers, you'll find I've been listed as one of the speakers for the next year's event, as has Gary Heseltine from the Police UFO Database, who's also been chosen this year as well. And we're still waiting for the rest of the lineup, but there's certainly some very good speakers going to be speaking, including Mary Rodwell from Australia coming over for it next year. It's going to be a good lineup. But my talk next year is going to be on exactly that. How do we define the differences between conspiracy theory and conspiracy fact? And I'm going to be covering everything from 9/11 and 7/7 through to Roswell, through to Project Serpo. We're going to be looking into all of these things, the moon landings, and seeing which ones have got at least one toe dipped in fact and which ones are nothing more than theory. And as Jim Mars once said, one of the best conspiracy theories of modern times was that half a dozen guys, Muslims, could learn to fly commercial aircraft overnight, controlled by one guy with a laptop in a cave in Afghanistan for 9/11. If you believe that, then I suppose you must believe every conspiracy theory that's out there, because that one's crazy. Right, my guest in hour one is John Levine, and we're talking to John right now about Alpha Music. His website is silenceofmusic.com. And John, I'm going to come back to you on this whole idea of why we should be changing our brain state at the moment. Have you heard or had any hard proof that Alpha Music actually works wonders and does everything it says on the tin, so to speak?
Yes, we're getting proof all the time. We started when I first, rediscovered the music, as I recorded in 1984, and then there was a 17-year gap where it was just put in a box and forgotten about. And when I rediscovered it was in Krakow, after divorce and separation and all the rest of it, I was going through a midlife crisis. My mum sent me all my boxes of junk all the way from Sydney, Australia, cancelled the storage and let me have it in Poland. And when I was sitting, feeling sorry for myself, I opened one of the boxes and found this pink cassette of this music. And when I played it, it was absolutely timeless. and that's actually what Silence of Peace, I've renamed it Silence of Peace Volume 1. Now, I felt something very strong about this music. I sort of pictured a silver ball floating in space when I heard this music. It was like, it was just defied gravity and didn't need anything to exist. So I thought, I've got to get proof on this. Now, I'm not Polish. I couldn't speak the language very well. I was without money and without contacts, and I needed proof. Now, so I started letting lots of people hear it, and they all said wonderful things. Doctors were saying they're prescribing as prophylactic care, and gynecologists were using it, and hypnotherapists were using it, and teachers calling it elixir good behavior, and parents were saying they no longer argue, and babies stopped crying and went to sleep, and you know, the stories are mounting up so quickly, and I was quite blasé, thinking, it's another one of your conspiracy theories, that this is just being a conspiracy theory, be nice to John, because he might do something untoward, so just keep him happy and just say something nice, and hopefully he'll go away and not do anything harmful. And my engineering, scientific brain clicked in, saying, you can't trust people, you know, they're probably just saying a whole lot of nice words, you really need proof, you need the music you need the wires hooked up to an EG machine, and you've got to find out if the brain actually goes into an alpha state or whether it's just relaxation music, because if it was just relaxation music, I'd give up and make hamburgers or pizzas or something. I wouldn't, create more pollution for the world than we've already got, and I believe music can create as much pollution as car exhaust, as far as I'm concerned, or rubbish that's put into prepackaged food. So I really wanted to get the truth. So I was in a problem, a situation, no money, no contacts, and I didn't trust anybody, okay? So I was just praying, praying to the heavens, praying to the universe, praying to God, just to give me a sign. I wanted the truth. I wanted to know, does this music actually do what I intended it to do? I got a phone call on Sunday afternoon to say that three little budgies fell asleep in daylight listening to the music.
Now, I'm going to stop you there, because I got an email in from Suzanne in Herne Bay in Kent, and this is absolutely superb, this email, because it says, is this stuff dangerous to listen to while you're driving?
Absolutely. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, I ride on all the packages. Don't use the music whilst you're driving or operating heavy equipment, because I don't know what state you're in. And because I don't know your state, and I'm not sort of prescribing the music to in each individual, it's better just not to use it whilst you're driving, because if you haven't had enough sleep, or you're getting in a drowsy state, the music could easily, any of the CDs could put you into a sleep state. So I recommend that none of my music being used should be used ever for driving or for whilst in the background whilst you're operating heavy equipment. So it's a very good point, and it's good to follow that. Yes, because you wanted more proof. So talking about the budgies, they never go to sleep in the daylight, and that's what they had to tell me, because I really didn't react when they said three budgies fall asleep in daylight, because I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah.
But what they explained to me is, budgies never go to sleep in the day. If you want them to go to sleep in the day, you have to put a blanket over the cage, turn off lights, you have to create darkness, and if you can fool them into thinking that it's dark, maybe they stop talking, maybe they'll start going to sleep. But this family is a musical family. They played all sorts of different music, classical, rock and roll, radio, TV, whatever, but none of the music they ever played, their whole life of those budgies, put them to sleep in daylight, except for when they started playing Silence of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was the moment that I just felt like light was going through my body at a million miles an hour. I was feeling like I was electrocuted with light. I wanted to cry, I wanted to laugh at the same moment. It's like a eureka moment, I think.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get back to the email. Got one here from Kerry Ann in Atlanta, Georgia, in America.
Yeah.
Good evening to Atlanta, Georgia. She said, you mentioned earlier in the program about the type of CDs you should use when first starting out on Alpha Music. Could you tell us again what that was?
Are you talking about what a person that wants to be introduced to the alpha music, what they should start with.
Yeah, I think that's what she means. She heard you talking to me about what I should start with my particular problem, and I think she was reacting to that.
Well, I'm writing a book at the moment, and it'll be called, or the working title is The Miracle of Alpha Music, where I'll be putting a table in. Until then, it's probably just best to come to my website and write to me and tell me what your situation is, and I'll be able to suggest what sort of music might be the ones that could you could use to start with, because everyone is so totally different. Or you can just read what's on the website and to work out which ones you best started with, because if you're depressed, it'd be silence of heart. If you want to be forgiven, it's silence of a voice. If you've got a busy mind, you need to get to sleep, it's the Orange Grove Siesta CD. If you're a man and you don't have a busy mind, it's the Amber CD. So it just depends on the actual person. So I can't just say, everyone, you should start with number one CD. It doesn't really work that way.
I think you ought to send me this Orange Grove one. Sounds like it might be the answer to a few of my problems, John.
Well, after the show, you can give me your PO box and number, and I'm happy to send you a copy to see how it's going to work for you. But you wanted more proof. After that, I did get a scientific report done with 200 dental patients, 100 with and without the music, during dental procedure. And what they found was, with the music being used, there was a significant drop in stress and anxiety during dental procedure. And this was a scientific paper that was published in Sweden. So that was my first scientific paper. Then I had a lady that has been measuring brainwaves for over 20 years, taking photographs of brainwaves, and some of them are on my website, and if you want to know more about that, you can just email me and I'm happy to send you more information about that. So and you can actually see how the brainwaves start to slow down and start to be coherent. Then I had a chap in Cambridge, England, and He was quite dubious about my, when I was saying that the music is, the teacher's calling it the elixir of good behaviour, and it's played in the classroom, children become well behaved, they stop talking. So he said, I think I'm going to put you to the acid test. So that's when he got permission to do a thesis on the subject in a classroom of disruptive teenager boys, and there was a significant drop in hyperactivity, in talking, and a huge, over 100% increase in academic results. And this was done independently of me at the Cambridge University.
That's amazing. So there's plenty of proof out there. That website again, silenceofmusic.com. I recommend you all go and try this, because it sounds like the proof is there. It's the sort of thing we need right now with all the stress around us. Now, what do you think the key is to relaxation, concentration and good sleep for most people, apart from, obviously, alpha music?
Well, Patrick Holford, who's an expert in nutrition and health, he's written over 30 books on health and nutrition, he's actually using my music as part of his own family treatment in helping to keep relaxed and having a good night's sleep. And he uses it in his conferences, and he's recommending it. And what I would say is that good food, good air, good water, and keeping your brainwaves under control so that you can think very, very carefully and very easily. You see, there's a lot of, a lot of the commercial advertising that's out there is bombarding you all the time. If you're driving down the street, there's 101 different things coming to get you, telling you, you should think this and you should think that. That's basically what a lot of the advertising is doing, is basically saying, don't trust yourself, don't trust your own feelings, don't trust your own intuition. Come and buy this product and feel better. Come and buy this product and you'll get as much love as you want. Come and buy this product and feel happy and joyful, as opposed to thinking that I can be happy and joyful just by myself. If I've got control over my mental brainwave state, if I've got control over what state I'm in, if I can be in an alpha state, if I can be in a meditative state, I can actually think for myself. I don't need other people to think for me.
Absolutely. I've got to stop you there, John, because we have run out of time, but I'll ask you just to stay on the line for a moment, because I want to talk to you off air.
Yeah.
Just give us your website again, where people can find out what you're up to.
Yeah, so it's www.silence, S-I-L-E-N-C-E of O-S-M-U-S-I-C of music.com, science of music.com.
Fantastic. Stay on the line, John. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Thanks,
no problem. Now, you heard it there. I mean, John Levine, I've seen John down at the Mystic Fair in Glastonbury, and I know this stuff works. So this isn't like, I mean, you know what I'm like on this show. I don't allow people to just come on here and plug something purely for financial gain. You know what I got like when we had a ghost guy on here plugging his tours once. But this one I felt was worth doing because this does work. It really does work. And so many of us out there right now are stressed up to the hilt and we're looking for ways to be able to relax, unwind a little, meditate a little. And I know a lot of you out there have said you've got the same problem as me. You have a real problem meditating. So I felt this was a good hour, a chance for you to perhaps understand and try some new ideas, new ways of thinking, and stop those bloody big pharmaceutical companies sticking tablets down your neck every time you're stressed out. I think it's a good one. Hope you agree with me. We'll be back after the break in an hour or two. It's your hour. Your questions, please. Any subject at all on strange phenomena and conspiracies. And we're going to be talking, amongst other things, about swine flu, these new bracelets with microchips in, and Gordon Brown's global governance plans, and, of course, some of the things from the new blog. We'll be back in just a little while.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Glastonbury Radio, you clever little humanoids.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They've made me feel f***ing normal.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system. And you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Torrey at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
We'll be right back.
are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
What I feel
dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back to Hour 2. I had a little chat off the air there to John Levine. I really quite like the idea of that. I've said on this show many, many times before that I have a problem with meditation, and many of you I know have tried. Rasmus in Denmark sends me various emails saying, have you tried your crystal skull? Rasmus, I've even had the thing alongside my bed trying to help me, but it doesn't work. And I just have this sort of mega-active mind, and it just never stops. And it can be, sometimes it's good, because when you're running a business or something, it's great, because you're full of ideas and you're creative. But when you're just trying to relax, I mean, Penny will tell you that I sit there some evenings watching the telly, and I'm drumming my fingers on the table and bashing something else and clicking my bloody legs together. I can't sit still, I can't just sit and be quiet. I can't read a book. The only time I read books is if I'm on a plane going to America. I just don't have the concentration. So I think what John's hit on there just might, I'm not saying it will, but it might be the answer. So I've told him I'm going to have a copy of his Orange Grove one, and I'm going to try it out, and we'll see, and I'll report back on the show and let you know. But I think it's a good idea, and certainly we know from our own research that sound and sound or music rather does actually change your state of mind. It's been a scientific fact for some time that various types of music can have different effects on you, you know, from classical music through to loud rock music can put you into completely different moods. And it's understood that some of the great composers like Bach and Beethoven and Mozart actually wrote their music with a view to bringing you through a journey up and down in emotions while you were listening to the music. So I think John's hit on something there, and I think it's a good idea. And somebody actually wrote in during the break and said, what's in this for you, Ross? You must be on a bloody percentage plugging this out for music. I'm not. I really wish I was, actually. I think he's going to do really well. But I am one of these people, if I think something's good, I will promote it. It doesn't have to be about gain. It has to be about whether or not, for me, it works. And I think there's enough evidence here to show that that does. And that's the only reason I've got behind it in the way I have. So well done to John. Now, moving on for hour two, this is your hour. So basically, I want your emails. And if you fancy coming on air and having a chat with me, send your phone number through with the email, and I will call you and we'll put you on air. We'll have a chat live on the program tonight in hour two. We're going to start to do this more regularly, because I've had a lot of people calling me to do this, to have a listener hour. And at some point, once we get some new sponsors in and some more money in the bank, I think we're going to put a second line in here and have a phone-in line where you can actually call live into the show and put your questions to guests. So that's something we're looking into at the moment. The main problem we have here with these things is that we have a very small hybrid unit which takes one phone line through it. So to actually take two phones, we'd need two hybrid units, and they cost about £400 each. And then, of course, there's getting the line put in and all the rest of it. And as you know, I do this phone from a home studio on a Friday night. Sorry, this show, rather, from a home studio on a Friday night. So it's a case of the main studio being kitted out for some things, but the home studio having to be kitted out for more because of the worldwide show, because obviously we go out to other stations, so it has to be done on a very professional basis. Well, as professional as I can do anyway. Right, let's get down to the business here. In hour two, I've got to talk to you about swine flu, haven't I? And I know we're going to be touching on this again in hour three. But a little while ago, I said to you, in fact, David Icke and I were chatting about this on the programme just a month or two back, about how swine flu would go right down, we'd almost forget about it, and then it will suddenly come back with a vengeance as the autumn weather comes in, because this is the time where people start to get flu, changing temperatures, etc., etc. Now, what David said was, towards the end of September, you'll suddenly start to see the headlines again. Well, this week the Daily Telegraph carried a headline saying that swine flu was on the increase. There's a lot of outbreaks being reported around the country right now. He said, come October, we'll start to hear about the mandatory vaccine programme. Well, somebody sent me a video earlier this week, and you can find a link to it on one of my blogs at nomadrush.blogspot.com. The video actually shows, and alright, you know, you can take the mickey a little bit because it's a Christian-based video, and the guy's got a Jesus Saves thing in the background, but the message is simple. Regardless of whether it comes from someone that's Christian, someone that's Muslim, someone that's agnostic, really doesn't matter. The message is simple. They are shipping thousands, hundreds of thousands of bracelets, I think they're called RFID bracelets, to the different places, the different states that are bringing this law in America. And what is supposedly happening, and I say supposedly because we still don't have 100% proof of this, but when you have the vaccine, which will be mandatory, you will be forced to have it. If you don't have the vaccine, you will not get allocated a bracelet. Without the bracelet, you're not going to be able to move out your house. Basically, in the States, what they're planning, apparently, on their contingencies, is that the bracelet itself will be your passport. You will not be able to cross border lines, go out of town, cross state lines, without the bracelet. Well, of course, the bracelet contains the famous ID chip that Greg Nicolaitis told us about when he was on the programme last. Now, this, to me, is particularly frightening, because we're already hearing from various people, not just David Icke, that the vaccine itself is full of chemicals that will break down the immune system. So you may not die of swine flu, but you'll die of anything you get afterwards. That's frightening enough in itself. But to think that you're going to have to show publicly that you've had the vaccine to travel by wearing a bracelet that's got an ID chip in it, it's just one step beyond, for my liking. It's one step too far. And whilst a lot of you are probably sitting at home right now saying, no, surely that could never happen, how many times have we all said that? Just sit back for a moment and think how many times you've said, oh no, they'd never put CCTV cameras everywhere. Do you remember when we all read 1984 by George Orwell and said, that'll never happen? A bit worrying, isn't it? You sort of look at it and you think, my God, everything that's being predicted is happening around us. And also this week, just to add to the whole conspiracy, I suppose you would say, I had a series of press releases sent to me, and I was talking about this at the beginning of the programme. I get regular updates every week from 10 Downing Street. These are press releases that are sent to Glastonbury Radio. And the press releases tell us what our Prime Minister and the government are up to right now, and they are for the mainstream press. Some of them are embargoed, so we get news that we're not allowed to tell you about for sometimes a day or 2 days later. These are standard things that happen from government. Now, three of the press releases I got earlier this year, or late last year, I can't remember the exact date, said on them, signed by Gordon Brown, and with the words clearly underneath, working towards global governance. Now, that can only mean one thing, working towards global governance. It cannot be explained in any other way. Now, I sent copies of this to people like Kenton Torrey, who runs the online shop for us here at Now That's Weird. I showed Penny a copy. I sent a copy to David Icke. Sent various copies out, and all these people were greatly alarmed when they saw it. Only this week, they all disappeared from my inbox. Now, I'd archive copies of these into different folders, so there was more than one copy, so that it's backed up. The one thing I didn't do was copy and paste it into a Word document and save it on an external hard drive. So the copies that were on my computer had all disappeared. Now, the strange thing about this is no other emails had disappeared, just those, which I found very strange. So I contacted all the people that I knew I'd sent this out to, and everybody said, yeah, we've got a copy, I'll find it and forward it to you. And one by one, they all come back, including David Icke, all came back to me and said, Ross, you know what? Ours has gone as well. Which means the government either had a self-destruct mechanism on the email, so that the email physically deletes itself after a set period, or worse still, the government can get into your emails and reclaim an email they'd sent to you, and that's even more frightening, the fact that they can get in that way. Now, we hear about companies that can do remote PC action, so they can get into, you can get into your own desktop from wherever you are in the world. Is it actually possible, and it probably is, that the government physically have the ability to go through your inbox to see if there's anything in there that could be controversial that they don't want you to see? I'd like your opinions on that, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Certainly frightening from our side to think that we can have a press release from the government and to think that one of the civil servants in that office has suddenly said, Prime Minister, didn't realise you'd done that. Sorry, sir, but you can't actually be quite that blatant with a statement like working towards global governance. Here's a guy that stood up in front of businesses all over the world, made statements about his objective for a new world order. Now, 15, 20 years ago, when David Icke was telling us all that there's this great plan from people to put together a global government and a new world order, we all laughed, didn't we? I did. I'll admit it. I put my hands up. When I first saw David on the Wogan show, like most people, I didn't take it particularly seriously. I mean, who would? You know, reptilians and the Queen changing into a lizard? I was the same as the rest of you. I sat there and I thought, no, sorry, that's a step too far. Now look what I'm doing. I'm doing a programme repeating. Yes, I'm one of his famous repeaters, aren't I? I'm doing a programme here confirming that David Icke's got it right on so many issues. And he is connecting the dots. And I think one by one, all of us out there are doing exactly the same right now. We are starting to connect the dots. And when we see these things going on around us, and it's as blatant as that, how can we do anything other than connect the dots? I really don't know. I must admit, the whole thing at the moment scares me to death. Right, got an email in here. It says, "Hi Ross and Penny, I listen with great interest to John Levine, and as you know, he's been to a couple of my shows, but I never get a chance to listen too much as I get stressed out." Graham, I know exactly where you're coming from. "Concentrating on everything else that's going on," he says. "Yes, I know the answer is out there somewhere, but we did play some at one of the fairs, and I can tell you they do have an effect, so much so that I've now banned playing them at the fairs. He will, however, be at my Glastonbury Mystic Fair on the 28th and 29th of November, and also offering a couple of workshops and demonstrations. Listen to the tapes. We went on them." And that's Graham, Graham Robinson, who does the Mystic Fairs here in Glastonbury. Thank you, Graham. Yeah, absolutely right. The proof is out there with that, and I think it was a good hour. I enjoyed it, really was. Right, now, as I say, we're going to be going through these things bit by bit, and I'd like your opinions on it. So hour two, very much your hour. So get your emails in, both on this swine flu vaccine, whether you believe the RFID bracelet idea or not. I'd like your comments on it. What would happen if somebody said to you, "Hey, you have got to have an injection. The injection may not be good for you, and afterwards we're going to microchip you." Now, you're going to all be sitting there saying, "Oh, no way am I letting it happen to me." Well, I understand that people have already been jailed in Massachusetts, in Boston, for refusing the vaccine. They are actually acting on it. The military in America apparently are now being trained to actually sort this out on the streets. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but if you think back to the recent edition of Torchwood, where they were trying to vaccinate the children, coaches were being lined up to take the kids away there and then. And I understand similar things are being planned in America, and almost certainly if they're being planned in America, they will be planned here as well and across the globe. If that happens, we may not get any choice. I, like the rest of you, have absolutely no intention of letting people put that injection in my arm, I can tell you now. But will I get any choice? I mean, if they come round here with the military, force me out of my house and force me to have an injection, what on earth am I going to do? You know, you can only fight so far, can't you? And the other irritating thing that I've seen this week, and you may have seen this as well, is doctors, GPs in England, and this was from the Daily Telegraph, so it's not a conspiracy theory. Doctors in the UK are being given £5.25 for every vaccine they administer. Why do you think I went silent there? Just think about that for a second. Our GPs, our doctors, are being given £5.25 each for every single person they vaccinate with a virus that the results of the test haven't been published yet. A virus that was actually patented a year before swine flu was ever heard of. What the hell is going on?
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frown, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnich, Courtney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back to Hour 2 with me, Ross Hemsworth, and just me in Hour 2. Still to come in Hour 3, Pamela Glasner from America is going to be talking about the Big Pharma, pharmaceuticals, and the link with mental health issues, and also, of course, the swine flu issue, and how the pharmaceutical companies could be, well, we all know they have a great deal to gain from that. Now, there's a lot of things, a lot of talk going on this week, a lot of conspiracies, which we've been looking into. One conspiracy that I can't find any fact to back up is that Donald Rumsfeld, our old friend, bless his little furry socks, apparently, the conspiracy theory says that he shipped 6 nuclear missiles from one place to another, but lost one, and there's one missing. And this nuclear missile is going to be used, apparently, from a false flag terrorist attack on a major city, possibly in England. I certainly hope there's nothing in that, bearing in mind last week we were talking to about a guy who predicted a thermonuclear explosion here in England with regards to a crop circle formation that he said predicted it. So maybe... maybe it's right, but certainly at the moment I can't find any evidence to back that one up. But if you know any more, drop me a line, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, I'm going to read an email out from Mike Philbin, one of our regular listeners in Oxford. Just before I do, just to remind you, if you want to come on the show in this hour and have a chat to me, because an hour is a long time for me to do on my own, so you can give me a bit of help here, just send your phone number over and what you'd like to talk about, and we'll give you a call possibly in this hour before 10 o'clock. Sorry, before 11 o'clock. Where am I? My God. I need that alpha music, I think. Deary me. Yeah, and we'll get you on the show and we'll have a chat about these things and see what's worrying you. We're also going to have a look in a moment to the chat room as well, because there's quite a few things in the chat room that are worth discussing as well. So if you want to join in the chat, it's nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, this email from Mike says, Ross, what do you think about the plan to 100% vaccinate the UK population? Do you believe that the leaked document I linked to off of Jane Burgermaster's site? Also, funny that we haven't heard any public connection from any insider sources between the vaccine for a never-before-seen virus, AH1N1, and the forthcoming UFO disclosure program. You'd have thought a lovely endgame potential in vaccinating everyone to protect us from the natural illnesses carried in our ET friends, who allegedly are orbiting the Earth right now and are about to be revealed to this planet. I mean, we all remember War of the Worlds and how viruses killed off the invaders. Use that propaganda in reverse. From Mike in Oxford, he says, P.S. Did you ever read the Robert Harris novel, The Ghost, 2007? It's about Tony Blair and his wife. P.P.S. Though I'm tempted to give my phone number to appear live on the show, I think you'll find it much more interesting Sorry, you'll find much more interesting interviewees among your listeners. I'm a reporter, not a believer. I hear specialists all the time on the show and envy their depth of knowledge. Mike, I really appreciate the email. Thank you for that. And I think you should come on the show and talk about it, actually. But there you go. It's up to you. Now, let's answer this and address this piece by piece. What do I think about the plan to 100% vaccinate the UK population? Well, let's tie this into what someone's just said in the chat room. We've got no danger of depopulation here because it's not the West that's overpopulated. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. If you read the link that I put up to the World Trade Organization on Facebook today, the World Trade Organization, the new guy that's just gone in as chair or whatever it is of the organization, is actually talking about just that. How we need to depopulate in the UK, in the USA and around the world. Because there are too many people, not enough food, not enough money. And yes, don't think you're going to get away with it just because you're in the UK. It's depopulation as was written in the document for New America. They want the population of the world down to under 2 billion. And they're working on it. Believe me, they're working on it. So my thoughts on a plan to 100% vaccinate the UK population. Well, I think we're going to see a major rebellion. There's no question about that. There are a lot of people out there now, like us, who are talking about these things on internet radio shows and saying no. You remember John Harris a few weeks ago? The most important word in our vocabulary, and we so rarely use it. No. Retain your right to say no. Now, what do you think a government that are intent on vaccinating you are going to do when you say no? They're going to bring the military onto the streets, and they're going to make you say yes. They're going to leave you with no choice. Now, in America, they're doing it cleverly, Mike, because the bracelet idea is, hey, have one of these vaccines, and you can travel freely anywhere in America. Don't have a vaccine, and you're never going to be able to leave your town. Now, that's almost saying, you know, people are saying, well, I suppose we better have the vaccine then because we've got to go and see Auntie Frieda in New York next week, you know. So I think there's an element there that we'll see that happen. But if we go back to what David Icke said on the programme a month or two back when he was on the show, he said what'll happen, they'll then start to build up tension between neighbours. The idea here is that everyone around you will have had the vaccine, and because you haven't, they'll see you as a threat because you could be carrying it, spreading it, and we'll get this almost lynch mob mentality happening around you where, hey, have you heard the rumours? Hemsworth hasn't had the vaccine. Let's go to Hemsworth's house and set it on fire, you know. This is what's going to happen. We're going to have a lynch mob mentality because, unfortunately, we are still in the minority. The majority still believe what they read in the mainstream press. Mike, it frightens the hell out of me, I have to tell you. Now, with regards to what you say about UFOs, well, obviously, again, I'm someone that talks at UFO conferences all over the world, as you know. In fact, next month I've got two. I'm at Probe Conference in Blackpool on the 3rd and 4th of October. The following weekend I'm speaking at the Cornish UFO Conference in, well, Cornwall, in Truro. And then in a few months' time I'm going to be speaking at UFO Congress in Nevada. So I can't sit here and say UFOs don't exist, can I? What I can say is I believe them to be interdimensional beings rather than sort of aliens from other planets, and that is my belief. But I take your point about the viruses. If there are other entities that enter our world, they may be susceptible to viruses that we're not, and likewise they could bring viruses in that we're susceptible to. So it's an interesting thought, Mike, and I'd like the other listeners' views on this, please. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And reference the book, The Ghost 2007. No, Mike, I haven't read it, and as I said earlier, I'm just not one of these people that tends to do a great deal of reading because of, well, really, I suppose you've got to put it down to my lack of concentration. So I just don't concentrate on anything, and that's the problem. Let's go back to the emails. I've got another one here. Hi, Ross and Penny, getting you live in Istanbul, very spasmodically, so only fragments, but you are live here. It's because of low internet connections. YouTube is totally banned here, but you're not yet. Give it time. So I only hear bits of your show. Chat soon, Si and Kez from Talkback Radio. Now, you may all remember Si and Kez. They used to be in Edinburgh. Then they went out to Ireland for a while. They're now spending some time out in Istanbul in Turkey. And hi to both of you out there. I hope you're having a great time. I've never been to Turkey, actually, and it's a place I'd like to visit. So much history there, and I think a lot of artifacts still to be found in that country. But strange that Turkey bans YouTube. I wonder why. Perhaps Si and Kez could throw some light on that interesting fact. So really don't know. Now, coming back to the chat room, let's have a little look and see what people are talking about tonight in the chat room. Rosie said, there's only one problem with the vaccine theory. The West aren't part of the world with a population explosion. Well, as I said just now, Rosie, it's not about where the population explosion is. It's where they actually want to make the cuts. And as I understand it, from what's happening with the swine flu vaccine alone, America and the UK seem to be two of the first places. Now, when you think that swine flu started in Mexico, you may want to think that perhaps they would try the vaccinations out there first, wouldn't you? And why is it that less people have died in Mexico where the virus started than anywhere else? And also, if you look at the death figures around the world, the swine flu epidemic, or pandemic, as someone... how they could do that, I don't know. It's a whole different issue. But the pandemic has actually killed less people than the common flu. Now, the common flu hasn't been made a pandemic, and we're not all being forced to take mandatory vaccines for that. So why have the World Health Organization suddenly declared this a pandemic, when it clearly, in fact, isn't? Now, there is a thing called the Civil Contingencies Agency here in the UK. Some of you may, and some of you may not know about it. They are set up to deal with things like this way, way before it happens. Websites, emergency phone numbers have all been put in place. And these things are all prepared. But I'm hearing now from people that work within local authorities, in local councils, police forces, that other things have happened. Posters have gone up on walls, machines have been put in where you've got to basically wash your hands when you enter the building and leave the building or leave an office. Certain contingencies are in place with regard to a clear desk operation for a swift exit. There are plans being put into place now that wouldn't normally be put into place this early on. It seems to me that there's a very clear course that the governments and the World Health Organizations are planning. Let's see what else they're talking about in there in the chat room. And let's say hello to a few people in the chat room, actually. I just mentioned Rosie from Southampton. Kenton's in there. Lightnet One. Shamrock. Ross H. Don't know who he is. Some guy who presents a radio show, apparently. Actually, yes, it's mainly Lightnet, Rosie and Shamrock having a conversation there at the moment. Hi to the Dealey Lama. I like that, the Dealey Lama. Very good. I like some of your names. Hi to Marvel John as well, who's in there. He's also been contacting me through other areas like Twitter as well at the moment. So hi to all of you guys. Right, let's get back to the emails. Oh, right, no, I thought there was another email popped up there, but it's not, it's a message from Penny, so I won't read that out. I have to be a bit careful, you see, when she sends me these things across, because if I'm not careful, I'll read out personal messages as well. Shouldn't do that. Right, you're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, and as I say, if you want to take part in this hour, just send me an email with your phone number on it. We'll call you before the end of this hour, and we'll have a chat, put you live on air, because it gets a bit much me just talking on my own. And for that reason, because you can probably hear my voice is getting a little bit at the moment, we're going to take a little break for some music. And we'll be back right after this. Everything is wonderful. Being here is heavenly. Every single day she sends. Everything is free. I used to be so careless. As if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this place when I was Mary's baby? Suddenly the heavens rose. Suddenly the rain came down. Suddenly was washed away. Mary that I knew. So when you find somebody, think of me and celebrate. I made such a big mistake when I was Mary's baby. So if I say, say there is prayer, and I think we all need a prayer at the moment with what's going on around us, around the world, don't we? Whether you're religious or not, and as you know, I'm not particularly religious, but sometimes you can't help but think we need some outside help here somewhere. Somebody actually once said on this show, one of my guests, that the interdimensional beings, aliens, whatever you want to call them, are there, but they can't just come. We have to physically invite them to come in and help us. And I remember somebody else saying, you don't want to do that because they're actually not good guys. It's a bit like inviting vampires in. So what the hell do? You need help. You know you need help. You can't do it on your own. So who do you call? Who are you going to call? Worrying. Right, just going back to the chat room there. Hi to Megalithic Neil, who's popped in. Hi, Neil. And there's an advert now running for that UFO Congress tour. If you want to come with us next year, it's going to be great fun, actually. A few of the guys from Exopolitics in the UK said that they're looking to go as well next year now. We are only taking a maximum of 20 people, so with two minibuses, it's going to be too much to go beyond that. So once those places have gone, we will be closing the books on it. And I know there's a lot of people interested. Now, the whole trip is 2 weeks, flying into Phoenix in Arizona, going up to Sedona. We're going to spend a few days in Sedona, which is like a sort of American Glastonbury, really. Amazing energy portals and things there. So we're going to be doing some work in Sedona. Then we're going up to Grand Canyon, staying up on the Grand Canyon. And then from there, we're going to go across, get as close as we can to Area 51. And we're going to try and find out a bit more about this Area 54, which is in a mountain near Area 51, which is particularly intriguing. Then we're going up to stay at the Little Ailey Inn in Rachel, Nevada, and that's really bleak. It's right out in the middle of nowhere in northern Nevada, and that was where Mike Oram had his strange experiences and disappeared for a while after his experience at Area 51. So that's going to be real cool. Then we're going to try and drop in at Lake Mead if we get time on the way back to see where the Philadelphia experiment, USS Eldridge, apparently has still been showing up from time to time, as if it's still running around in time. And then from there, it's 7 days and eight nights at UFO Congress. Now, if you go to www.ufocongress.com, you'll see they've got the list of speakers now. Not all of them, still a few to be contacted and confirmed. But amongst the lineup, I've been invited to talk next year, and I'm doing a thing on conspiracies. There's also Donald Ware. I told you about Donald a little while back. He's going to be speaking as well. Mary Rodwell is going to be there. Gary Hasseltine from the UK. It's a really good lineup. And as I say, there's only a few of the speakers up there so far. There's a lot more to be announced, but I can tell you from having spoken to Nikki and Bob, I've got a good idea now of what the full lineup's going to be, and it's looking very exciting indeed. So if you want to come with us on this trip, just go to megalithictours.com. That's megalithictours.com. And if you're in America and you want to join us for the trip out on that side, we could probably do that as well, you know, because we can meet you guys in Phoenix. So if you want to join up and hook up for the tour from Arizona onwards, then just drop a line to Neil, N-E-I-L, Neil at megalithictours.com, and he'll tell you how we can do that. I'm sure there's a way that we can do that so that you can join us out there. But as I say, it is down to numbers. We can't really take any more than that because of drivers and insurance and various other things. So Neil will be driving one of the minibuses. I'll probably be driving the other one, and that'll be it. So it's a good chance for us all to get to know each other a bit better, spend some time together. And as I say, that final 7 days, you're going to be staying at the luxurious Aquarius International Casino Resort. It's lovely there. The food's cheap. It's just a lovely, lovely place. It's on the banks of the Colorado River. It's always in the early 70 degrees that time of the year, which is fantastic. It's just a lovely, lovely place to be. And your conference ticket and accommodation is included in the price, which is all set around £1,500 per person. So it's a bloody cheap trip, really, for people that want to spend 2 weeks going across and seeing these areas of America that we hear so much about on shows like this. We'll be back after the break.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the Great UFO Congress Tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta. Followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Ailey Inn. In
in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and eight nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Froud, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Krakovnik, Jenny Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from thefairyball.co.uk or 01736 330
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy to read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guide to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us, to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com, and keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a two CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, it was the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Torrey at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Scoob, I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Yes, welcome back. Still coming hour three tonight. We're going to be talking to Pamela Glasner from America, talking about Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical companies, and the effect they're having on mental health issues around the world, amongst many other things. And also, we're going to be talking swine flu and that mandatory vaccine. We can't get away from it, can we? Absolutely not. So that's in hour three. John Warren Oakes says, could I say hello to his new friend Pamela on Twitter? Absolutely. Hello, Pamela, and welcome to the show. I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing so far tonight, and lots more still to come. As I say, Pamela Glasner from America, live on the phone in just over 15 minutes. Now, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. Earlier in this hour, I spoke about a blog from somebody called D.G. Pascal Lamy, L-A-M-Y, who's quite high up within the World Trade Organization. Now, you can find his blog at www.wto.org. That's www.wto.org. Now, the actual blog is /English/news_E/SPPL. Well, I won't go on because it's quite long, but I've put it up in the chat room anyway, so you can actually go to the chat room at nowthatsweird.co.uk and click on it. Now, it says here, Master of Public Affairs, inaugural lecture at the Institut d'Etudes Politiques de Paris. Now, D.G. Pascal Lamy, says here, let me say how honoured I am to be your host today to open the academic year of the School of Public Affairs. Now, he's addressing the World Trade Organization as a major player in that organization. And he goes through, it's quite a long piece, but part two, faced with globalization, we need further global governance. Now, he says, what do I mean by global governance? For me, global governance describes the system we set up to assist human society. Remember that word John Harris told us about? To achieve its common purpose, another one that we've heard somewhere before, in a sustainable manner that is with equity and justice. Growing interdependence requires that our laws, our social norms, our values, and other mechanisms for framing human behavior, family, education, culture, religion, to name only a few of them, be examined, understood, and operated together as coherently as possible as to ensure the basis of our effective, sustainable development. It involves thus necessarily the recognition of the role and responsibilities of new actors, openness of processes, authentic and effective participation and accountability of those acting in that coherence. Now, he then goes on to explain why we need globalization and why we need global governance. Now, you can sort of look at this two ways. It's a long blog, and obviously I'm not going to read the rest of it, but you can go on there and have a look yourself. Globalization itself is not a bad thing. One of the reasons that I'm talking to the world tonight is because of globalization. The internet has brought us all together. It's made us a one-world community. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It means we can talk to people all around the world freely. We don't have the barrier restrictions that we used to have between various economies around the world. So globalization shouldn't be put down as necessarily a bad thing. Global government, however, is a different issue. If you get a global government, you could be talking about somebody like Barack Obama controlling everything that goes on in France or England or Scotland. Now, the guy has pretty much, as I understand it, no knowledge of England, Scotland or France, only from an American perspective. Now, would you want somebody like that to govern your country from a country that don't understand perhaps our culture as well as someone here? The alternative argument could be, does Gordon Brown understand our culture? Bearing in mind the way that he's leading us towards this global governance, does he actually understand our culture any more than anyone else? It's a worrying fact that globalization and global governance could take us in a direction that for many would mean the end of individual cultures. We would just be one international culture. We would have to change our ways. Now, we all know Brits don't like change. We never have done. When they bought in decimalization, we didn't like change. We don't like change. It's as simple as that. But are there good points? I'd like to know what your thoughts are on this. Do you think that in some ways a global government or globalisation could actually prove to be something that's very positive for us all in a time of change? Ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, I'd like your thoughts on that one. With regards to the whole idea of a global government, I have to admit from my position, it frightens me. I've always thought of our government being British people who understand British culture, know what it's all about and move forward. But if you look in recent years, with the whole political correctness program, the racial tension that's building through the EDL and the BNP, we are actually being pushed towards other cultures more than our own. Which brings me nicely on to my next point. Why is it, do you think, that we're being told that we should hate all Muslims? Now, they're not saying it directly, but in every newspaper at the moment, we're seeing Muslim terror attacks, we're seeing Muslims on the streets, we're seeing Muslims being painted as a common enemy. Now, if you remember back to the 70s, as I do, when we were being blown to bits by the IRA in London, Birmingham, Maidstone, Manchester, to name just a few, were we seeing in the papers that we should hate all Irish people? No, absolutely not. It seems to me that, again, David Icke's got it right with his whole PRS. Problem, reaction, solution. They're creating the problem. We're reacting to the problem, and we're certainly seeing a growing racial tension in this country. We're seeing more demonstrations. We're seeing the BNP getting votes now in elections. We've got a general election coming soon. What's going to happen in that? We're being pushed in a particular direction, and I can't help but think that this is an agenda because they already have a solution planned. What do you think that solution is? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. And why are we being pushed in that direction? Why is the racial tension being the focus of media attention? Why do you think we're being pushed down that route? It's one that worries me, I have to say. Now, I'm a person that I don't choose friends by the colour of their skin. I have to say that I have had problems in the past with people that come and live in Britain that don't settle into our culture. I mean, if somebody comes and lives in a community of, say, other Asians, they won't talk our language, they don't want us on streets around them, Brits are getting mugged around them, then yes, I have a problem with that. Because if I moved to Delhi and lived in Delhi, I'd expect to have to live under their laws. I wouldn't expect to go there and change their laws and say, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to create and call the racial tension banner. You don't do it. When you move to somewhere else, you live as they live. That's always been the case. But in this country, we seem to not be doing that. So there is a racial tension building around that. But this isn't about someone's colour. This could happen if some, say we had Italians coming here, moving in and doing the same thing. Creating an Italian area where they don't let anybody else into it, don't want to communicate with us, and start telling us they want the names of the roads changed and the Mecca Bingo Hall shut down because the name offends them. Then yes, you're going to get tension. But the colour of the skin is not the important factor here, guys, and that's the one thing that's being missed in all this mainstream media coverage. It isn't about colour or creed. That's the point. And why are we being pushed down that route, do you think? Now, I know some of you disagree. Some of you do think it's about colour and creed. Some of you do think that the BNP is a good thing. And you're entitled to those views. One of the things that I've always said on this programme is it's about free speech. So if your view is that, feel free to drop me a line and let me know. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk, because you have as much right to a voice as I do. But I see that there's an agenda here, and that agenda I'm not liking. And I think this all fits into this whole plan for globalisation. And, well, I don't know, it worries me. And I'm one of these people, I worry a lot. I worry for you guys out there, because so many people, do you know something like 90% of the population still thinks we're the nutters? We're the ones that believe the conspiracy theories, therefore we're the nutters. 90%, maybe even higher, of our population thinks that UFOs just don't exist, it's all nonsense. Conspiracy theories are all nonsense, they're all tarred with the same brush. And then, of course, you've got the government feeding disinformation, allegedly, out through the conspiracy forums. So we're also being led false runs to actually take us off course from what's really going on. It's a confusing place to be right now in the world. It's a confusing time for all of us, because none of us know for fact which is right and which is wrong. Maybe there aren't such things as UFOs. Maybe aliens don't exist. I've certainly had encounters with things that aren't of this world, so I know from my own side what I think. But what do you think? We're in a dangerous time, and I really don't know the best way to deal with that. Now Shamrock said, I'd love to talk to you, and sent a number over. And Shamrock, we've just run out of this hour, so perhaps we could do that next week on next week's show, Shamrock, if you get into me a little earlier, because we're going to start using this second hour to do this. So Shamrock's in America and says they'd love to chat with me, and thanks for that. Now, did I read this one out from Gary? I don't think I did I? Right. Hi, Ross, Penny, and of course, Lulu. Hey, Hemsworth, did you ever realise that Orb Video Production... that Orb Video Production? I've had a very interesting time and may have missed it. No, I'm still editing the damn thing. I've just never got round to doing it. Regarding swine flu, the place I work at has these hand wash dispensers on the entrances to the building, and get this, a monitoring area if anyone has a temperature. Laugh out loud. I can't see this incompetent government being capable of dishing out 60 million doses... Uh, of, the clap, let alone a vaccine. I was hoping to get to UK Probe this year and see you talk, but I'm not sure now. Shame, as Dolores Cannon is also on the bill and is having two chats as well, and I'm supposed to be a first waiver. I'm sure I have more spontaneous thoughts, but I'll let them ride until my next five-page email. Take care, Gary. Gary, thanks for that, mate. I really appreciate that. And you should try and get to Probe, because I'm going to show that picture that I took of the alien entity or interdimensional entity at Rendlesham. People keep saying to me, put it up on the website. I won't, because it'll get nicked, won't it? I don't want to do that. But I will be showing it at the Probe conference. And I've just been told the US announced today that only one shot of the vaccine for swine flu will do, and surplus will be shared with other countries. Get in line, Ross, now, says John Warren Oakes in America. Thanks, John. I better get in line, hadn't I? Okay, coming up in hour three tonight, we're going to be talking to Pamela Glasner. Pamela's from America. She's an expert on the big pharmaceutical companies, talking about mental health issues brought on by Big Pharma. And she's also going to be talking about swine flu and the vaccine. So stay tuned. It's going to be an interesting hour three tonight on Now That's Weird. Get in the chat room as well at nowthatsweird.co.uk and have a chat with some of the other listeners that are in there right now. And I'll see you in...
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Glastonbury Radio, you clever little humanoids.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They've made me feel f***ing normal.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night.
This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system. And you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kent and Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Do you want to reach a global, interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Zoinks, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Everything. Silence always wins. So fast. a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Certainly is. Welcome back to Hour 3. It's me, Ross Hemsworth, through till midnight here. And, of course, that's, I think, 6 till 7 EST and 3 till 4 p.m. PST, I believe, in America. So wherever you are, obviously differing times to here. But very late at night here, so I tend to get tired in Hour 3. So if my voice goes down a little bit, you know why. Now, just before I introduce my next guest, I've just been sent some details from Graham Robertson from the Holistic Living magazine. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph of this. If you want a copy of it, then email me and we'll send you a copy. It's a homeopathic remedy for swine flu, Homeopathy was successful in treating the flu epidemic in 1918 and could provide answers to questions about the 2009 swine flu. Homeopathy can provide quick and inexpensive relief for symptoms of the flu. A system of medicine based on the principles of like cures like. Homeopathy uses plant, mineral and animal sources for the natural flu remedies. Homeopathy is based on ideas dating back to Egyptian medicine, and the term homeopathy was coined by the medical doctor and medical reformer Samuel Hahnemann in the 1800s. Homeopathic remedies have been used to treat flu symptoms for two centuries, and it goes on and gives a lot more detail. Graham, thank you for sending that over, much appreciated. As I say, we have got a copy of that here, so if you want a copy of that particular piece from Holistic Magazine, drop me a line and we'll send you the PDF over accordingly. Now, somebody else is asking, when does the 2012 film come out? Because it's been delayed a few times. I understand the current release date is the 13th of November, the plan for the film. The film, of course, showing an apocalyptical apocalypse. How do you say apocalypse in Apple? Yeah, well, you know what I'm getting at anyway. Right, it's Friday night, what else? It's showing an apocalypse sort of ending to the Mayan calendar, and of course it's scare tactics, it's total Hollywood. So be aware of that. It's not what's going to happen necessarily, but it does put a perspective on it. But the interesting thing about the 2012 movie is they've changed the trailer. When they actually delayed the release of the film, the original trailer said, what would the governments of the world tell 6 billion people if they knew the world was going to end? Answer, nothing. Now, somewhat strangely, that particular quote has been taken out of the new trailer. It doesn't appear in the new one. I wonder why, or am I just getting deep into conspiracy theories yet again? I don't know. I'll leave that one with you. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Let me tell you a bit about my next guest. Pamela Glasner was born in New York City in 1953, and just prior to her 18th birthday, her family relocated to Connecticut, where she obtained her bachelor's degree in English and secondary education from Eastern Connecticut State University. She attributes her love of architecture and antique restoration, two aspects of her life which are woven into the fabric of finding Emas. I'll check the pronunciation of that with her in just a moment, to her grandfather, who after emigrating to the US from Austria in the 1920s, became an iron worker and joined the ranks of those who left their legacy in the form of New York City's incomparable skyline. But a real hero, though gone these last 30 years, is still her grandmother, whose strength, courage and unfailing confidence taught her that nothing and no one can keep you from your heart's desire without your permission and your cooperation. A former English teacher, she is also a registered reader at both the Royal Society of London and the British Library, as well as a member of the Connecticut Historical Society and the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy and Horror Films. As a member of a private club, she works with the sommelier managing the wine list, sommelier, that should be, I think, and also enjoys public speaking. Appaloosa horses, pepperoni pizza, and London, England, though not necessarily in that order, she says. She lives in rural Connecticut, and she's on the phone right now talking about, amongst other things, the Lodestar series. Her website is lodestar.com, L-O-D-E-S-T-A-R-R-E, lodestar.com. You can check that out now. She's on the phone all the way from Connecticut right now. Good evening, Pamela.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and I hope you are too.
I am, and thank you for inviting me.
No problem at all. Now, I want to start, before we go to the main thesis of this hour, I want to just very, very quickly touch on the whole idea of the pharmaceutical industries interest in swine flu. Over here we've heard a lot of conspiracy theories, Pamela, talking about, for instance, Tamiflu, which Donald Rumsfeld's company allegedly stockpiled around the time of bird flu, and it's now getting close to its sell-by date. So they're trying to push it out as a remedy to swine flu, a completely different virus. Now, do you think it's got to the point now where the big pharmaceutical companies are actually governing some of the viruses that are being pushed out into society?
Oh, my God, absolutely, yes. Do you know who Dr. Robert Temple is?
I've heard the name, yes.
He is one of the most influential human beings in our country. And because of where he is, he's actually one of the most influential human beings in the world. He is the director of the Office of Medical Policy for the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the acting director for the Office of Drug Evaluation. And so he is responsible, on the one hand, for the regulation of the psychopharmacological drug products. And then, on the other hand, he's also responsible for overseeing and regulating the advertising and promoting of those drug products. So he is probably the most influential person in the, I mean, we people used to say Alan Greenspan hiccups, and everybody in the country feels it. Trust me when I tell you, Robert Temple hiccups, and everybody in the country feels it a hell of a lot more. Oh, excuse my language.
Well, I should look into that, definitely, because we always hear about Donald Rumsfeld over here, but not so much Robert Temple. But there's a name for a few of my listeners to go and research on Google right now.
Absolutely. It's the pharmaceutical industry in this country, anyway. The pharmaceutical industry has more lobbyists than any other industry in our country. They have about 1,300 right now. And they have had their dirty little fingers in literally 1,600 pieces of legislation in about a five-year period, all to their benefit. So absolutely what you were saying before, they definitely rule an awful lot of this country. And because a lot of the drugs that are manufactured here that go to your country, they have a big impact all over the world.
Well, I don't know if you knew it, Pamela, but one of my researchers that sends me regular stuff for this program, and he's very good at digging, actually sent me through some material a little while back saying, and it seems that this is justified, the swine flu virus was recognized, the H1N1 strain was recognized in early 2008, and yet the pharmaceutical companies had patented the swine flu vaccine in 2007. What do you make of that?
It doesn't surprise me in the least. You know, what really blows me away is that, I mean, it's a flu. And as a flu, I mean, it just, this is biology 101. Flus mutate, right? I mean, they have to. That's what viruses do. They mutate. There's no way that they can act. I'm sorry, I can't speak English on a Friday evening.
You and me both, don't worry.
Yeah, right, I know. Good, I feel like I'm in good company. There's no way that they can accurately predict what is going to happen in the future to it, and yet somehow they miraculously have the cure-all for it, don't they?
Exactly, and this is always the problem, isn't it? Because David Icke says it's a case of PRS, problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they wait for our reaction, but the solution's already there waiting long, long before.
Because they are smart, they're greedy and they're smart.
And I mean, the more we think towards a new world order or globalization, the more you think these big pharmaceutical companies, some of the richest people in the world, are going to be playing a major part in this new global government if it ever comes about. There doesn't seem to be any alternative.
Well, I think they already are. I mean, when you think about it, are you familiar with, you guys seem to hear or be cognizant a lot more about our government than America seems to be about anything that happens outside our borders. And all of the stuff that's going on about our healthcare issues and how they're trying to come up with a national healthcare program here and all of that. And one of the things that the pharmaceutical industry dug their heels in about was not allowing the government to negotiate for lower drug prices. And, you know, for people who are on things like Medicare, Medicaid, that kind of thing. And then, so what they did was they waived this $80 billion carrot up, saying, hey, you know, we're willing to do this, you know, and give up $80 billion. But when you think about that, $80 billion over the course of 10 years is pocket change to the pharmaceutical industry, because they make $70 billion a year just in the United States just on psychotherapeutics. So $80 billion is nothing to them.
Absolutely right. And I'm sure that you're probably aware of the whole Codex Alimentarius thing, are you?
Try that again.
Well, let me just inform you of what I know about it. Codex Alimentarius is something that's being pushed in around the world through things like the World Health Organization, allegedly. And it's the big pharmaceutical companies making alternatives to homeopathic medicines. And what's allegedly trying to happen is they're trying to do away with organic farming. They're trying to do away with food labeling so that you know what's in your meats on the supermarket counters. And also, they're trying to push the homeopathic stores to actually take the alternative pharmaceutical drugs rather than the homeopathic, with large markups showing they can make a lot more profit. So basically, they're trying to squeeze homeopathy right out of the whole equation.
Well, that doesn't surprise me in the least. I mean, they have done some dastardly things over the years. They created, I'm sure you've heard of ADD and ADHD.
Oh, absolutely. My oldest daughter suffers from ADHD.
And they created the market. Those drugs that are being used now for children, at least in the United States, I'm not familiar with what goes on in your country, were never meant to be used for children. Kids are dying from it. Kids are committing suicide. Kids are committing horrendous crimes. Kids are just losing their minds because they just, all of that stuff is just not made for children to begin with, but they created the market.
Absolutely right, and I actually say at conferences I speak at around the world, do not, under any circumstances, give your kids Ritalin. It's one of the worst poisons I've ever come across. Now, we're going to come back and talk some more with you in just a moment, Pamela, because we need to go to an ad break. But let me just get this pronunciation right. Finding Emmaus, is that right?
Emmaus.
Okay, we'll get there eventually. We're going to be talking after the break with Pamela Glasner about finding Emmaus and exactly what that entails. Stay tuned, you're listening to Now That's Weird. We'll be back in just a moment.
At nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and eight nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Froud, Josephine Wall, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokovnik, Chetney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5pm and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8pm.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops, with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back to the programme. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, live from Glastonbury, all over the world tonight. And thank you to all of you for tuning in. Now, as well as that blog you heard just now, nomadrush.blogspot.com, you can actually click on the follow button there and be kept up to date with everything that's going on, because we're channeling a lot of conspiracy stuff through there at the moment, trying to sift through it first to find out what's got at least one foot in fact. But as well as that, we've set up a new mailing list. If you want to be on that mailing list to find out some of these things when they happen, because we're getting told a lot of stuff at the moment, all you need to do is send an email to Ross, R-O-S-S, at nowthatsweird.co.uk, and in the subject line, just put on it, mail list opt-in. Mail list opt-in. The reason we do that is so people don't get spammed. If anyone ever accuses us of spamming, we can then go back and pull out the email and say, look, they opted in. So that's all it is, really. And it's not spam. We're not sending you adverts. We're not sending you anything else. You just get basically the updates of the news as we get it. So if you want to be in that, just email Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk and in the subject line, mail list opt-in. That's all you need to put in there. Now, I've got an email coming I just want to quickly read out before we go back to my guest. Hi, Ross. Interesting thoughts on globalisation earlier and the forthcoming global order. I'm currently studying to be a chartered accountant, and there's a lot of harmonisation of UK Financial Reporting Standards, FRSS, with International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRSS, at the moment. If money is what makes the world go round, then the new structure is already being built and has been for many years. Great show, Stuart. Now, Stuart doesn't say where he's from, but thank you for that, Stuart. Much appreciated. Thanks also to all the people that have been ordering my book, The Dead Are Talking, over the last week. We seem to be getting quite a few orders coming through all of a sudden on that. And as it says on the UFO Congress site, you know, they've actually put up a little biog about my talk there next year under the speakers area of that site. It says it's heading towards being a bestseller, and it's funny, isn't it? The book's been out for, what, 2 or 3 years now, but all of a sudden it's starting to really go. People around the world are buying it, and thank you all for that. I appreciate that, because it's not about the money with the book. The money will just about pay the costs of producing it, because it's sort of half self-published. But it's about getting the message out there of how we get into these quests and how we learn this stuff and the effect that it has on our lives. It's almost like a sort of semi-autobiography, the effect that it's had on my life, as well as the results of my research along the way. And you can get that through the Now That's Weird shop online. It's called The Dead Are Talking, Proof of an Afterlife? Now, my guest in this hour is Pamela Glasner, and we were talking before the break about finding Emmaus. Pamela, tell us, what is finding Emmaus all about?
Well, it is a dark historic fantasy. It's two concurrent stories, actually, one happening in the 17th century, the other in the 21st, about two empaths who find a way to meet across the centuries. And in the course of this, they uncover a multi-billion dollar conspiracy in which millions of people are being misdiagnosed and drugged for no other reason, than the enormous income that they generate. and then these two empaths, well, they basically risk everything in order to save the lives of millions of people who are ostracized from society and victimized because they're erroneously labeled mentally ill.
That sounds really interesting. Now, what's your definition of an empath?
An empath, for the purposes of my book, is somebody who experiences the emotions of another human being as though those emotions were their own. So, like if you were a telepath, you would hear thoughts in your head. Empathy comes with no information. So you would, if you were an empath and you were crossing paths with somebody who was very, very unhappy, you might actually feel their sadness. And if you don't know that you're an empath or if you're not trained, you would feel sad, but you wouldn't understand that it's not your sadness that you're feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Now, where did the inspiration for the book come from?
Well, I've always been interested in this. I believe that it really does exist, not necessarily to the extent that I write about it in my story, but I really do believe that there are highly sensitive people. And I just thought that it would be an interesting thing to write about and do a draw a correlation between the outward manifestations of the empathic personality and the symptoms of mental illness.
Now, we're going to come on to the mental illness and then the effects with the FDA, the pharma, big pharma issue later on. But I want to start by saying that any book that comes out with if you like, a fictional line, storyline now, is being compared in these areas anyway, certainly, with Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, which was a fictional book researched and written about a real issue, allegedly. Now, would you say that yours was also a crossover between, you know, the fictional side of the book but the real research behind it?
Absolutely, because except for the fact that I expect, well, I need my readers to believe in empaths and ghosts, but other than that, everything in the book, and in fact I even say it in the author's note in the beginning, everything in the book is historically, factually, statistically, medically accurate. And it took an awful lot of research, and in fact it took research on two continents, because whatever I couldn't find here I had to go to England to find.
There's plenty of it here, believe me. Now, do you believe that empaths really exist, or that it's really possible for the spirit of people who have died to walk amongst us?
I hesitate to say yes because I don't want people to think that I'm nuts, you know, but yes, I do believe that empathy does exist, and I certainly believe that, I guess what I believe is that it would be the height of arrogance for me to say that whatever people believe in currently is, this is what the human condition is, and there's nothing else to be discovered. So I think that there are a lot more things running around in this world and a lot more things happening in this world than we may be aware of at the moment.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, my own research, you probably heard me talking about my book, The Dead Are Talking, Proof of an Afterlife, earlier, because my research tends to show, from the results of a lot of scientific work, not like a paranormal ghost hunter, you know, knocking on walls and waiting for Fred the Ectoplasm to jump through and say hello. I've actually gone into it in a far more scientific angle, and my own research seems to say, yes, these do exist, and they do walk amongst us.
Yeah, I think they do. And congratulations, by the way, on your book. That's absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank you. Well, let's hope yours is as successful or more so. Now,
okay.
What would you say was the biggest challenge when you wrote the book, Pamela?
I think my biggest challenge was that I did not want to judge my character's actions or behavior as either good or bad, because just like any other kind of people, empaths can they can make choices to do things that I would not necessarily agree with, and I really wanted to allow my characters to do what came naturally to them. And in some cases it was actually difficult for me, because one of my characters does something that I find absolutely reprehensible, and it took me, and I'm not exaggerating, it took me 23 times to rewrite that chapter so that I could finally get it without me putting my own opinion in there.
Yeah, that's always the hard part, isn't it? Now, this character, I believe, is called Frank. Tell us about Frank.
Oh, Frank is my honey. I'm in love with him. I'm just sorry he's dead. Frank is he's a ghost from, he was born in 1659, and he lived 98 years until 1757. And he was born an empath, only there was no word for empath back then. And so he was considered to be mentally ill. And back then, if you were mentally ill, you were, well, first of all, they called it lunatic. There was no word for patient in terms of mental illness back then. And everybody knew in the early 1600s and in the early 1700s, and in fact even beyond that, that lunacy was contagious. So, and it was the work of the devil, or you were a witch or something like that. So you were segregated from society, which was why places like Bethlehem Royal Hospital existed, for people to be, you know, taken away, because otherwise, you know, you could infect an entire village. So he learned that he was, at 32 years old, learned that he was not mentally ill. He was told by another empath that he was indeed an empath. And I'm not giving any of the story away, because all of this is set up in the very beginning. And then he spends the rest of his life trying to, creating a way to teach other empaths how to know that they are empaths, so that they will not go through the horrors that he did in the beginning of his life, believing himself to be mentally ill.
Now, why do you think Frank was so unsuccessful in getting people to listen to him about empathy? And why was the lodestar hidden away for so long?
Well, back then, especially, now this story takes place in America. And like I said, I had to go to England to do most of my research, because there wasn't a whole lot here in the United States for that time period. But back then, when the Puritans were here, there was no place in their lives for anything that was not specifically mentioned in the Bible. And so anything that was outside of that was considered to be dangerous. And so Frank would have, actually, Frank, the only reason Frank escaped the Inquisitor's noose at that time was because he was the son of the wealthiest family in this town in Connecticut. And so they would not have been willing or able to accept the premise of empathy, because it's not something, as I said, that was addressed in the Bible. They would have considered him to be mad or possessed or a devil himself.
Now, this is the interesting point for me, where fiction comes across reality, because for someone like myself, who's experienced clairvoyance over the years and actually channeled information that's later been proven to be 100% correct, I'm aware of the whole empathy thing and people's reaction to it. Now, Penny actually said, my wife said she was going to buy me a t-shirt a while back that actually read on it, you're just jealous because the voices are talking to me. But the interesting part about this and what you're saying is about the way that people are treated as mentally ill, and were from the 17th century, and to a degree still are today, if they have beliefs outside of the common understood system.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, I do believe in this, and yet, on the other hand, it was frightening for me to, my publicist and I had some arguments about me coming out of the closet and saying it out loud, because I said to her, everybody's going to think I'm a raving lunatic if I say this. But I really do believe that it exists. Of course, I do take a little bit of, you know, literary license with how far, you know, to the nth degree in my story. But I do believe that we are connected, and there are some people who are a lot more sensitive. I mean, there are people who can walk into a room and just know what is going on emotionally inside another person. So then that, to me, means that it exists, right?
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking about a possible conspiracy collusion between the drug companies and the FDA after the next break. But are any of the characters that are actually in your novel based on real individuals? Because I get the feeling from what you're saying that the research here has been very much put out as fiction based on something very, very real.
Well, yes. And I keep bringing up Bethlehem Royal Hospital. I hope they're not going to get angry at me. But
not at all.
From, you know, way before 300 years ago. One of the characters in my book is a 17th century empath, and his name is Gilbert Bond. And he was locked away in Bethlehem Royal Hospital in the 1620s. And he is actually a compilation of several real people, and the records are available for people who want to get a hold of them after a certain number of years. And what happened to him actually did happen to people. So he is, even though the name Gilbert Bond and his wife and his dad and all of them, they are made up people, what actually happened to him behind the walls of Bethlehem Royal Hospital was absolutely 100% true.
Now, how is this a story of advocacy? Because how did that come about, Pamela?
Well, when I started wanting to compare empathy with mental illness, I had to do some research. I mean, I wanted to be able to speak intelligently about it, and that was how I found out that specifically bipolar disorder, the symptoms of it mimic the outward manifestations of the empathic personality. And then when I started researching bipolar disorder, that was when I started learning all of the things that I did about Big Pharma, which we're going to talk about after the break. And Catherine, my 21st century character, she believes herself to be mentally until she's mentally ill until she's in her mid-50s, and then she's told by somebody that she's an empath. And she, just like Frank did 350 years ago, wants to save people from the horrors that she went through. And so Catherine actually, in the story, Catherine does the research that I did, learns about all of these things, but she also experiences all of the tortures that people go through when they're being medicated as bipolar, and of course she can't be cured because she's not ill. So she then decides that what she needs to do is she needs to put the word out there and work with Frank. They do find a way to connect across 350 years and work with Frank to, and that's how they uncover this conspiracy about with what the pharmaceutical industry is doing, the collusion between them and the FDA.
Well, as I say, we're going to talk more about this collusion after the break. But one thing I think that's important to say at this point, Pamela, is a lot of my listeners, most of my listeners around the world, are either completely convinced now all of this stuff is real, or they're at the very most on the fence. We seem to have run out of skeptics just lately. There don't seem to be so many of them around now. But somebody sent me a lovely email a few weeks ago where they said, "Do you realise us listeners are all closet nutters? Because if we go to the doctors and say to them, we believe this, we're doing this, we're hearing this, these voices are telling us that," the doctors then prescribe medicine to put it right, because basically there's something very, very wrong. I'm going to leave you with that thought in mind. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. My guest is Pamela Glasner. The website is www.lodestar.com, and that's spelled LodesTarre, lodestar.com. Check it out. We're going to be talking about collusion by the drug companies and FDA, something that we've touched on more than once on this show before. We'll be back right after these words.
Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Do you want to reach a global interactive audience that are into the esoteric, holistic, strange phenomena? It's a niche marketplace, but it could be the right one for you. Advertise or sponsor Now That's Weird. Drop me a line now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and we'll do a deal that suits you. Get your message out to thousands of people all over the world with Now That's Weird.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system, and you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus, on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kenton Torrey at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, don't forget the website is www.nowthatsweird.co.uk. There's forums and chat rooms and God knows what else in there, so lots to play with on the site. And don't forget you can sign up for the new newsletter that we're doing, which is if you email ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk and in the subject line just put mail list opt in. And that's all you need to put on there, and we'll add you to that mail list, and you'll be getting all the regular information of what's going on behind the scenes, because there are so many conspiracies out there right now, and some of them have got a foot in fact, some of them are totally fact, allegedly, and some are just nothing more than disinformation. Which brings me to a big conspiracy theory, I suppose, and that's collusion between Big Pharma and the American government, which is the next issue I'm going to talk to my guest about, Pamela Glasner. Now, Pamela, do you believe that there really is a conspiracy or collusion between the drugs companies and the FDA?
Absolutely, I do.
On what basis?
Well, because of the book, I've been doing an awful lot of research into the topic, because I started reading about all the horrible side effects and all the terrible things that happen to people when they are on these psychotherapeutic drugs. And the more I read, the more appalled I was, but it was almost like I was addicted. I couldn't stop reading and I couldn't stop researching. And one of the things that I found out about, I'm sure you're familiar with Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had in 1991 what we refer to as the Prozac hearings. Prozac is a drug that is manufactured by a company by the name of Eli Lilly. And people approached the FDA and, they were complaining that the drug Prozac, drives people to suicide, to suicidal tendencies and to actual suicide. And so, and at first the FDA didn't even want to hear about it, but there was enough noise so that they finally had public hearings, and they said that, okay, we will have a study done. And so there was a big study that was done, and of course the conclusion was, well, there's no correlation between taking Prozac and between incidents of, suicidal tendencies and actual suicide. Then come to find out that study was, the company commissioned to do that study was Eli Lilly.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So, of course, then people started jumping up and down again and saying, hey, you can't do that. So the FDA then turns around and says, okay, we will have some independent doctors do a completely new study. Meanwhile, while they're doing all of this, Prozac is still on the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened in 1991. By the time this new thing came out, 1994, and it was a study done by three doctors who said that they independently analyzed not only the 17 individuals, data collections and studies done by Eli Lilly, but also from other places as well. And I read this report. It's like 6 pages long, and it's very tiny print, and it's incredibly in-depth. And I was very excited when I was reading it, because I'm reading all these things, all these facts and all these statements in it that are supporting what I believe to be true. And here I am going nuts with my yellow highlighter saying, oh my God, this is great, this is terrific, and this agrees with what I believe, and this agrees with... And then at the very end it said, but we conclude that there's no correlation between ingesting these drugs and suicide. And I was appalled when I read that. I said, who the heck are these people? They couldn't possibly have read what I just finished reading, because I'm not a doctor, but I know how to read. And so then I went onto the internet and I did some research to find out who these people are, and the organization for whom they work is supported by guess who?
Same company?
Yeah, it's supported in part by the pharmaceutical industry. Big surprise. And I keep seeing stuff like that over. I mean, I could give you examples. Well, I was going to say I could give you examples that would curl your hair, but it probably wouldn't because I'm sure you're used to hearing this.
Well, you know that we've had an ongoing battle here for some time about the measles, mumps, rubella, called the MMR injection over here in England, and it causing autism and various other things. And then there was another one some years ago. I can't remember what it was called. Penny, can you remember the name of the... It began with T, didn't it? The injection that caused so many problems back in the 60s, 70s? Thalidomide, that was it. Yeah, thalidomide, that was the other one, of course. And more recently, in America, you've had the big outcry about aspartame, because aspartame, of course, was a similar sort of thing, where it was actually ruled out by the FDA, and then your president at the time, I believe, reappointed a new head to the FDA who just happened to be a slightly different viewpoint, shall we say, and aspartame was then allowed.
Yeah, well...
We all know about aspartame, don't we?
Yeah, really. Really, I mean, it's just, it's all about dollars. It really is. It's all about dollars, and it's all about statistics, and I'm sure that some actuary is sitting at a desk somewhere saying, well, you know, the cost of the human life, or the number of human lives, and comparing that to the amount of money that's going to come in, and, you know, just some bean counter who just says, well, if we have to pay out this much money in lawsuits to family or in hush money or whatever, then, you know, it's worth it to us to continue doing this. I mean, when you think about it, there are, one of the things that I learned in the course of my research, 70% of the time, these drugs don't work. Now, I'm talking specifically about psychotherapeutics. Mm. The drugs don't work. Now, if no matter how you do the math, I mean, no matter how many different ways you try to back into it, that 70% number is supported. And if you opened up a can of Coca-Cola, and 70% or a case of Coca-Cola, and 70% of the time you didn't like the taste, how long do you think that product would stay on the market?
Not very long.
Well, exactly. But specifically, I'll give you, in the year 2004, there were 244.3 million prescriptions written for psychotherapeutic drugs in the United States. Okay, I don't know about the statistics outside the U.S. So 244 million individual prescriptions. I'm not talking about renewals. I'm talking about brand new scripts, just for psychotherapeutics.
Mm.
At the same time, in the country, there were 25 million people who were diagnosed, and I use that word very lightly because there is no diagnosis, and there is no real diagnosis for bipolar disorder. But there were people, 25 million Americans, who were diagnosed as having a mental disorder that required the administration of psychotherapeutic drugs. 244 million prescriptions, 25 million people.
Mm-hmm.
That's broad strokes, 10 prescriptions a year for a person. Now, just like a lot of other women, I take a pill every day of my life, you know, hormone replacement therapy, but I only get one prescription a year. I don't need a new prescription every single month, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason a doctor gives you a prescription, a new one, after taking a pill for 30 days or whatever, is because the old one didn't work. I mean, a doctor's not going to say, hey, this pill works, now I'm going to mess around with your head and give you something else, right? So 10 prescriptions a year, no matter, it still comes out to the same 70%.
Mm.
And now, how does that happen unless somebody is paying somebody, unless there's collusion?
Well, let me stop you on that exact point, Pamela, because I announced earlier on the show tonight, the Daily Telegraph carried a story this week that doctors over here are being paid £5.25 for every single vaccine they inject with the swine flu case. So basically every swine flu vaccine earns them £5.25. Is it right that doctors and general practitioners should be getting a financial incentive to dispel a vaccine, to install a vaccine into somebody that's not been tested thoroughly yet, we haven't had the results of this vaccine test, and B, is it morally correct?
No, and it shouldn't even be, it shouldn't matter even if the thing has been thoroughly tested. A doctor shouldn't get paid for pushing drugs. I mean, my best friend was, her doctor wanted her to be on, one of these benzodiazepines, Valium, okay? And she took it for a little while, and then she realized that it was doing these things to her body, and she said, well, she went to her doctor, she said, I don't want this anymore, I want to be off this drug. And she had only been taking it for a month, and she went back to the doctor and said, I am off this, we have to find something else. Do you know that he actually said to her, well, do you mind if I write you two more prescriptions anyway, because if I write you 90 days worth of scripts, they're going to send me to Hawaii?
God, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Well, we could talk on this subject for so long, we really could, Pamela, but I'm wary time's running out, and I want to just get back to the book for a second. What do you hope people are going to take away from this book when they read it?
Well, what I really hope people will take away is, well, a couple of things. Number one, being different is not necessarily the same as being damned. And I really want people to... I believe that reading, just like movies and just like plays, should be entertainment, but I think that at some point entertainment needs to spark... It needs to stop being entertainment and it needs to spark some debate.
Mm.
You know, so I hope people will look at this and say, well, maybe we need to get together and do something about it, because it really is a global social problem.
Absolutely. Now, there's a lot of authors out there, people like Dan Brown, that are getting what people believe to be real information out through fictional books. What can we expect in the next novel in the Lodestar series?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but it is a continuation of the same story. And in fact, there's going to be, I know for sure that there's going to be a number three. We don't know about a number four yet, but the number three is going to delve more deeply into the collusion, the pharmaceutical conspiracy.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Who do you think will be interested in reading the book? I mean, what sort of people do you think this is going to appeal to?
I think it's got a pretty wide range of audience. It's not for children, because it is pretty dark and some of it does get pretty graphic. But if people are interested in history, people are interested in empathy, in a good ghost story, if people are interested in coming into your own and finding your own personal power, it's got a pretty wide range.
Cool. Now, I've just got to apologise, because we've got a bit of background noise that's crept into this interview over this last hour, so apologies for that. A few people telling me that they're hearing a hissing on the line, so apologies for that, but I hope it's not spoiling your enjoyment this evening. Now, let's go to the emails. Carol in Birmingham in England asks, when you were doing your research, Pamela, was there any particular point where you found something out that really shocked you?
Yes, and that was... Well, part of it was what the patients went through when they were in Bethlehem Royal Hospital. Back in the 1600s and the 1700s, doctors, psychiatrists, actually believed that the only way to cure mental illness, or lunacy as they called it back then, was through physical torture. So they would literally lock people up and they had hideous machines. And they also believed that the lunatic themselves, the lunatic himself, actually craved this torture, because somewhere in the back of their diseased mind they understood that torture was the only way back to good health and salvation. And I did get some pretty graphic descriptions of what they were put through, and I don't want to say it out loud because I don't know who's listening, because that's why I say that it's not meant for children, because some of the things that they were put through were pretty despicable.
Mm. Okay, one here from Jed in New Jersey. Jed says, whilst you may not want to admit this on air, Pamela, have you ever had any experience that you may deem as being paranormal?
I won't go into it, but yes.
Surprise, surprise. And Suzanne, again from Herne Bay in Kent, in England, she says, I'm really enjoying this, and it seems that more and more authors are afraid to come clean about their real beliefs and write it under fiction. Pamela, is this the case?
I'm sorry. You mean hide behind a fictional wall?
Absolutely. That's what she's saying, yeah.
Well, I wrote my book as fiction because it is a fictional story, and... and I wanted it to be well researched, just because I believe that readers will go along on any ride you want to take them. I mean, you can have a story about a vampire who is bright blue walking down the street and is in agony because he needs to find a dentist because he needs a root canal in his fang, as long as everything else in the story is true. So it's fiction because I talk about empaths and ghosts. But I'm very clear, even in the author's note in the beginning of the book, that everything is true. So I'm personally not hiding behind anything, but I know that it can be scary coming out there and saying, well, I am an empath, or I do believe in afterlife, or I do believe in... I don't like the word paranormal because I don't like the connotation.
Well, the main thing to remember about paranormal, bear in mind I do a lot of research, is paranormal scientifically purely means that can't currently be filed as normal.
Well, and that's where I don't, because it is normal. It's a lot more normal than people want to admit.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I'm not really crazy about that term, like just like supernatural. It, it shouldn't have those connotations.
Well, unfortunately, it's had a bad PR, the word. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Pamela, we've run out of time. Just very quickly, tell us that website address again.
It's www.lodestarre.com.
Fantastic. Pamela, you have a wonderful weekend. It's been great talking to you. And on the week that we lost a great actor, Patrick Swayze, from the famous film Ghost as well, I thought it was a good time to actually talk about a subject like this. Pamela, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye now. There you go. That's Pamela Glasner. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about Pamela in the weeks, months ahead. I think it's going to be a little bit like the Da Vinci Code. She's going to end up being one of those best-selling authors based on a factual story under the title of fiction. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it tonight. Lots of stuff to talk about, lots of things to think about, and make sure you keep an eye on my blog, because in the weeks ahead we're going to be telling you the real stories that are going on out there, the things that the mainstream media are afraid to tell you or just won't tell you. We're working towards, it seems, a global government, says our Prime Minister. You're all going to be injected with a vaccine that allegedly is going to break down your immune system and make you vulnerable to just about every disease there is, allegedly. And that's part of the depopulation program, we're being told. Whether you believe it or not is down to you. The whole idea of this show is to put the information out there to you. You listen to it and you decide what you want to think. Hope you've enjoyed Now That's Weird. We'll be back in a week's time with more Now That's Weird, more new guests, more new subjects to talk about. Remember that new blog, it's nomadrush.blogspot.com. Many thanks to Penny, to Kenton, to John and to Mark, the team behind Now That's Weird. Thanks to Lulu the cat for being quiet this evening, not causing us too much problem through the show. But thanks most of all to you, the listeners. Hope to meet a lot of you on the UFO tour next year, but do check out that website, megalithictours.com. And also to find out who's speaking at the conference next year, it's www.ufocongress.com.